Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 97. It's the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I'm your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, my man?
Well, you know, Chris, it's been a couple years now, and I'm up for free agency. And I got to tell you, I've been offered a pretty good deal from a Chicago Bears podcast, and we need to discuss some terms here.
Well, you know, I'm not gonna break the cap just for you. I mean, you're a valuable player and all, but I just can't see, you know, some of the demands you've already put down are exceeding where we'd want to go. So we're gonna have a hard discussion here, Case. I just want to let you know that. All right, in today's show, free agency is the big point of the show. We're going to be joined by Eric Schlitt from LionsWire.com. He's going to help us break down all the crazy moves in the first day of free agency. Lot of stuff going on. And then, of course, we'll take you around the division like we do. Wrap everything up for the week. So we got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
This is bullshit.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, let's hit the announcements really quick. Make sure to help us out and check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or DetroitLionsPodcast.com and just click on the Patreon link. Quick outs to special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Michael, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Bert, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, and Matt G. And of course, our very first donor, Mathis. And also our newest patrons just joined this month, Kalen, Scott, and Alex. All you folks, man. You know, it's a lot of names to read, but we love it. And we love that list is growing. Thank you all from the bottom of our hearts so much for helping support the podcast. You guys are awesome. If you folks would like to join, like we said, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Patreon link. Anything you can part with, we would really, really appreciate it. And we're working hard to come up with some really good rewards for these folks because they deserve it. They help make this thing everything that it is. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast. That's at DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place to see Case.
Okay, Chris, but I need a guarantee that I don't have to wear pants.
I'm not signing up for that. Let's make sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Give us a review. That helps us out a great deal. And lets people know what they're getting into when they come to listen to the show. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast on Skype, or call us in the Lions line. That's 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time for all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. This week is a little something special because everything going on in Reddit has to do with free agency and the Lions. So we're going to be joined by a very special guest, Eric Schlitt, Mr. Big Stuff contributor at LionsWire.com. Eric's here to join us. Eric, how you doing, man? Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
We really appreciate you spending some time here with us. We're gonna go through some breakdown on all of the signings, re-signings, and some of the other significant news players who we think Detroit has an interest in who haven't signed anywhere yet as of the time we're recording this. Obviously, we all know that this is free agency and things change relatively quickly. We'll try to get you guys as up to date as we can on the goings on. And then hopefully we'll be able to come back next Tuesday and get a more complete look at everything that's gone on.
Case, would you say that this is the busiest opening day for free agency that we've seen in a long time?
Oh, God. no, you know what? Honestly, Martin Mayhew was always a significant player in free agency. So I don't know if I'd say that or not. There was certainly a fair amount of movement, and I know that a lot of people, you know, were hoping for some bigger moves today than what we have seen so far. But we're about average in you know, cap coming into the free agency. And
I'm gonna argue there were some pretty big time moves today, but we'll let Eric weigh in and maybe break the tie on this one. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Probably one of the more important positions on the field. Eric, we have a re-signing of long snapper Don Mulbach. key part of the team. Really the big piece is we drafted a long snapper last year. I thought it was a throwaway pick when we grabbed it. But what about Donnie here? Is he just here for camp and a check, or is he going to play again?
That's a good question. You know, I was at the camp in Allen Park last year, and they kept the long snappers real close to the crowd because they know it's such a crowd pleaser. And you know, I got a really good look at both Landis and Mulbach, and you could tell last year that Mulbach was clearly better than Landis. You know, it turns out Landis had that shoulder issue, and so maybe that had something to do with it. But, you know, he clearly won the camp battle last year. Now, he did have a couple hiccups during the season, but he's a pretty clean veteran. So I think there'll be a competition, and I think if there'll be a competition, they hope Landis wins. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the new Mulbach for one more year.
Yeah, I have a hard time arguing with that. It was pretty clear, obviously, when they drafted Landis that they wanted that. But there's no good reason to go to a worse long snapper if the better one is willing to play. So, okay, moving on to this is a position we'll probably hit on a few times here, but the Lions re-signed Brandon Copeland at linebacker to a 1 year. $615,000 contract.
Copeland is a good depth piece, and he's a real good special teams contributor, but he'll be fighting for a battle in camp just like he was last year. I think he made it last year based on his special teams and position flexibility, and he'll be in that same spot again. I think with a second year of Quinn adding pieces to the roster, it's going to be a lot harder for him to make the roster out of camp this year, though.
Yeah, for sure. And I got to say, the special teams angle that Quinn's been taking is pretty impressive. We didn't used to do that, but these camp battles are, you know, there's always that secondary spot where these guys don't just kind of land on special teams. They actually seem a little bit like special team studs if that's all they can play.
Which, I mean, that's a valuable thing. It's not something you want to necessarily, like, if you have the best special teams in the league, which we're close, It's going to help you, but it's not going to outright win you games. So, I mean, it's a good thing, but like,
it'll lose you games.
Sometimes I worry. Sometimes I worry that they're focused a little too much on it, but that's not necessarily something I feel strongly about, just something that I worry about a little bit from time to time. But sure. Anyway,
all right, moving on. Big name here, huge name, big contract, TJ Jones. Another $615,000 contract. I think he's going to have a challenge this year. I don't know. He's going to step up, doesn't he, Eric?
Yeah, you know, I thought he would have had a better shot to impact the roster last year, and he really didn't meet those expectations. And I think this year he'll be challenged even before adding another wide receiver to the roster, he'll be challenged by Billingsley. He's a guy who a year in now brings a different element to the game. So I think he really has his work cut out for him as well. Where he's sitting right now with Bolden and Roberts on the outside, he's in a good spot, but I don't think that's going to stay that way very long.
Yeah, it's hard to, and the thing is, I like TJ Jones, and I've always liked that. I thought he had a pretty high ceiling. It's just that, at some point, if the guy clearly isn't reaching that ceiling, you have to kind of accept that and move on. Speaking of a guy who I don't think has reached his ceiling, We also re-signed defensive end Kerry Hyder on a one-year $540K contract, which seems like an absolute steal considering he had eight sacks. But he must have just been willing to take whatever the team was going to give him rather than trying to fight it out in free agency and bet on himself that he can produce again this year.
Well, the team had all the leverage in that one because he was an exclusive rights free agent, so he couldn't negotiate with
any other
teams.
That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, he could only take what the Lions were offering. So the Lions offered a minimum, and he pretty much, if he wanted to play, he had to take it. So a lot of leverage for him, or for the team this year. Next year to be a different story.
Yeah. And hopefully he's fighting for some big money next year.
And hopefully this isn't like a George Johnson situation where he's just a flash, you know, in the pan type player. I don't necessarily think that, but it wouldn't be the first time we've seen that kind of thing play out where a guy has, you know, one big year. And look at Devin Taylor. I thought he was about to break out huge this year and absolutely didn't. So
flat. Yeah. All right. On to the still with the big signings here. We've got a re-sign of Kyrie Thornton, defensive tackle. 2 year, $3.3 million contract. That's pretty good. I feel like that's a good contract for a decent player, at least on a rotational basis at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. He's depth, and you know, with Nada and Ashawn as your two returners, they needed somebody else behind them, and Thornton bringing him back into the fold is a nice depth piece. And the contract isn't big enough where you are hesitant to keep him on the roster or to release him from the roster, depending on how other people that you add to the position, battle it out.
Real quick question: are you and I've my opinion on this has gone from it absolutely he is going to be cut to. Now I'm surprised that they're not going to, but it really doesn't look like it with Nada. You think they're going to keep him on? Do you think they're going to keep him on at the price he currently is at?
If you would have asked me that yesterday, I would have said he's absolutely safe on the roster because of the lack of depth at the position. But after the events of today, I'm a little less hesitant to be as confident that he makes it on the roster. I do think, though, he adds value and leadership to a young line. But, Quinn is full of surprises, and if you don't produce, you're not going to be long for this team.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so for the first big name, the real kind of breaking news, this came out actually before the free agency actually opened, but it was within the legal tamper period. Right tackle Ricky Wagner coming in from Baltimore, $9.5 million a year. That's actually really good news. I like that, but it did cost somebody a job.
Yeah, the right tackle position is, extremely undervalued as far as the cap market has been over the last several years. The top right tackle before Wagner's deal was something like $6.6 million, and that equated to like the 20th left tackle. So the right tackle market was due for a boom in price. So I'm really not unhappy with the price. He was the best tackle on the market and the best tackle that they could get. Either in the draft or free agency. So I don't mind paying, and I think you get a significant upgrade in his pass blocking, and that's really what you want as a priority. You have two bookend tackles that are young and should be under contract for a while. Now, they haven't released the years on Wagner yet, but you got to assume he's not coming here if it's not for multiple years at least. So I'm happy with the move. I think it's probably a lateral move as far as the run blocking, but I don't mind eating the price. The right tackle market is going to boom, and 2 years from now, this contract's going to look, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. I mean, we did overpay. I mean, based on the, based exactly on what you're saying, the market for right tackles was, absurdly weak, especially considering, that these are the guys, that teams are often shifting their best pass rusher over to the right tackle, because they assume that they're the worst player anyway. So the right tackle position has had to come a long way in the last few years in terms of, teams expect that player to be better than they used to, especially in pass protection. It's from a very technical, like on paper, aspect, it is an overpay. But at the same time, if you're going to overpay, you know, for a position, it's on the offensive line, in my opinion, because of the importance of that. And I do agree with you that the market will, you know, and we, you know, we're going to force the market to change by paying Wagner that much. I mean, it's just by doing that, we have set a new standard that other teams are going to be forced to also meet. So I agree that market will shift.
You know, one of the things I think about on that is there's a couple things. Not a big tackle market this year, and there's a lot of teams that need them. So that pushed the price up, I believe.
Not a strong draft for him either.
So. Right, right. And we have the luxury of having drafted Taylor Decker, which on a rookie contract kind of lowers the overall price we're paying on the offensive line, yeah. Which really, really helps us put a little extra money on a guy like this. Now, I think pushing into Riley Reiff, who winds up looking like a casualty and is a casualty of this move, the word is that he just wasn't as friendly in dollars and cents than Ricky was. Most people tell you that Ricky Wagner's an upgrade over Riley Reiff, but a little bit of hurt feelings on Reef's side, I guess, because they didn't negotiate enough, or it was still early in the negotiations and they just cut bait. So we'll see what the effect is on free agents in the future with Quinn playing that game a little bit.
Now, back to, as I mentioned, a position that we, you know, have to talk about a fair amount today. We signed linebacker Paul Warlow from the Falcons to a one-year contract. We don't know exactly how much the money is yet. Probably not too much, considering he'd kind of fallen down their depth chart. Now, that said, I am actually pretty happy with this in a big way. It was only a few years ago that it actually looked like Paul Warlow was going to be, you know, one of the next elite linebackers in the league. Now, that hasn't happened. He never really lived up to the hype that, you know, if you come in and make a ton of tackles as a young player, you know, the hype is going to build relatively quickly. And that's difficult, you know, thing to live up to, because, you know, tackles alone aren't, you know, that doesn't mean that much. In my opinion, he's a better player all around in almost every way than Tahir Whitehead is, in my opinion. But as if anybody, you know, anybody who's listened to this podcast for the last couple of years knows that I haven't exactly been in Whitehead's corner very often. But they viewed him as depth, the Falcons did. But if the Lions, and I'm still, you know, I'm hoping, we talked to Jeff on Tuesday that he was thinking that the Lions should draft Hassan Reddick, who I'm not even sure will be there at 21 right now. But there are there's a few other options at linebacker that could happen in the first round or in the second round, who could potentially, you know, beat out those guys or for the starting middle linebacker position. But if that doesn't happen, and it becomes a camp battle between the two of them for the middle linebacker spot, I think that's going to be probably the most interesting storyline we have during that chunk of the off season.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I think you kind of hit it on Warlow being a guy with potential, but I think he was benched for a reason. His coverage skills have not lived up to his athletic profile, in my opinion. He has that potential, and I think he will be given the opportunity to compete with Whitehead. But I will disagree with you, and I'm leaning towards Whitehead having the edge here. He has experience in the system. Last year, he basically was running that linebacker unit by himself because the others around him weren't helping. I think Warlow will be a good depth piece, will be good competition. And with Whitehead's ability to move to different positions on that linebacking core, he can play, you know, Sam or I believe he can play the will if he needed to. Will give Warlow opportunities to come in. Now, you mentioned Reddick. Reddick is a guy that I am fascinated with, and I'm really a big fan of. I'd love to be able to add a player like Reddick to this team. I agree with you in that he may not be there at 21 because the hype around him is really flying up, you know, through the roof. But, you know, you got to remember, he's a athlete that's making a position change, and I think there's such a deep draft. I really think it's a realistic shot that he's there at 21. I think it's a realistic shot that the Lions do try and upgrade him. But as far as Warlow, you know, I think he's going to be a key special teams contributor, just like we were talking about earlier, was that high focus on special teams. But I'm going to give Whitehead the edge right now, based on just familiarity with the scheme and just what I think he's capable of.
Just to add real quick, one of the positive things that I have heard Falcons fans say about Warlow, and you know, they agree with you that, I mean, he was benched for a reason. So like, I'm not trying to say he's a, you know, an all-star or anything like that. But that he has, you know, that he is one of the, you know, hardest working players on their team, which is, you know, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter sometimes how hardworking you are if the talent just isn't there. But it is good to, you know, it is good to hear that, you know, he's a guy who puts everything in. So
sure.
His athletic profile is fantastic too. I mean, he has a lot of skills and he has a lot of the ability to move fast and the ability to move quick. The issue is just, you know, making it connect in his brain fast enough.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think it's going to be a really good battle. Ash Thompson from the Detroit Lions podcast.com website. I was talking to him today, and he had mentioned that he watched 50 snaps with Warlow, and he said his coverage was better than our 2016 linebacking core in the snaps that he watched. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll see how that plays out. We'll move on. I'm going to blow through this one pretty quick. Fourth string tight end Cornelius Lucas, $1.79 million for another year. He's depth on the offensive line, of course. They often played that tight end position for us out of need, but we'll go straight to the big news. And, you know, when they signed Warlow, there was a lot of, well, not a whole lot of excitement, whatever. But today that all changed. And boy, did things get run through a grinder. And did Bob Quinn put his stamp on this team when he released linebacker DeAndre Levy? Stunning move, I think, to most Lions fans, wouldn't you say, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. You know, I was excited to see him back and healthy, and I thought he would be a good contributor. I was actually factoring him in to be a key piece of what they want, because they want to upgrade speed at that linebacking unit. But to release him was surprising to me. And I think we'll figure out a little bit more on why as things unfold. You know, when you look at the fact that he's also a June 1st cap cut, that increases the cap available this year. And by designating him as a June 1st cap cut now and cutting him now, it's telling me that they're trying to free that money up for something. And so I think, you know, something will come up and we'll be like, all right, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. But I was surprised overall, because that was a weak unit, and he was arguably, even at 80%, DeAndre Levy was better than any other player on that unit. So moving on from him did take me by surprise. And I think if they were trying to hide the fact that they really like Reddick, I think the cat's out of the bag now. I think they've made it clear they're looking for a playmaker at that linebacker unit, and Reddick makes a ton of sense. And I think they're going to be all in on him come draft day.
Well, and I think there's a lot of, you know, news yet to be heard on the DeAndre Levy situation.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know exactly why. And it'll be interesting to see if DeAndre Levy, you know, does decide to sign with another team, or if he just decides to call it quits. Because if he just decides to call it quits, it could be related to his hip. It could be a CTE thing. It could be, you know, whatever. I know that Chris and a lot of Lions fans probably, you know, feel like he did us dirty.
No,
I don't believe that.
I don't think he did us dirty. But boy, have that great! I remember when we were really happy with the deal we signed with him, and then immediately after we signed it, oh, he can't play, and he effectively hasn't been back. And there's more to that story than we know for sure, and more than we'll ever know. I don't think he's a bad person by any stretch, but I think we spent a lot of money on nothing.
Right. And I do agree that it's frustrating to have spent all that money and gotten no return. That I won't argue with that in the least. It's all just, about how it all went down. And you know, I am a firm believer that, you know, he was trying to get healthy and just things were not going well. But that's my opinion on it. So.
Yeah, the Lions' approach to releasing information on injuries did him no favors in the public eye. I believe he was injured as well. And the fact that they were so tight-lipped on it and didn't want to expose anything for, I don't know, competitive advantage or whatever they wanted to say, I think that did a lot of damage to his character and a lot of opinions that people had on him in the community. And it's a shame because he is a high-character person and, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people that will say, "Oh, he was cut because he was never hurt, and that he was just dogging the team." And I think that's misguided.
Certainly could be. I don't want to try to cast aspersions, but all I know is we spent a lot of money and didn't get anything for it, and that's the thing that's so frustrating, especially when we could have been planning around a linebacking core that right now, after that move, is scary, scary empty.
No argument. The next guy is was something we were kind of expecting. This is something that Jeff told us and kind of surprised me with, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, is that Larry Warford did leave to go to the Saints. So we've kind of been bracing ourselves for that for a little bit now. And we'll talk in a minute about one potential replacement here. But I can feel for the guy. They stuck him into a system after Caldwell came in and Terrell Austin. Lombardi, and they tried to get him to do stuff he wasn't comfortable doing, and it showed up in his level of play. And I can't blame the guy for wanting to go to a system that was
Lombardi,
right? that fits better for him. Although that is a little strange that he's going to the Saints, where they've changed a lot since the days that Lombardi was in New Orleans. But it is a funny little, like, isn't that what he's getting away from?
Yeah, you know, Warford, when he was drafted, he was instantly my favorite player on the Lions. I thought it was incredible value getting him in the third round. People mover was just what the Lions needed at that time. And I was excited. I named my fantasy football team after him. And I was like all in, loved Warford as much as anybody could. But I also heard around the same time Jeff did, around that East-West Shrine week, that he was not going to return to the Lions. And so I've kind of been able to sit on that and like just absorb it and understand that he wasn't going to return. But yeah, there's still a lot of people that were pretty shocked by that, just because the system now doesn't fit what he's good at. And you can kind of see the writing on the wall if you take a look at it now, in hindsight. But yeah, unfortunately, he was gonna move on and find something that works better for him. And he got paid, so good for him.
Yes, very good for Larry War Daddy. I'll miss him. I liked him a lot, but
yeah, me too.
Just doesn't quite fit now with him gone. You know, the Lions are looking for guards, and we had a gentleman visit who, boy, I would love to sign. TJ Lang from the Green Bay Packers came in for a visit. Evidently, he lives right near the Lions facility, within a half hour. So he lives in the Detroit area. Boy, that would be something to sign a guy like that.
If you could build a prototype for a right guard in the style of offensive line that they run, it would be TJ Lang. He has incredible lateral movement. He's a jump setter, which has been something that they've moved towards last season. And he is a local kid. I mean, like, he has all the things that you want in a guard. And I don't care if you have to, again, overpay a little bit for him. Like you guys talked about earlier, overpaying on the offensive line is okay. But, man, I would love to add Lang to the mix. It would be – you would be giving Stafford Aaron Rodgers-type time in the pocket. And mm-hmm. you give Stafford that kind of time, and he's just going to do some damage. So I would love to see it. I think the fact that they are looking at a guy like Lang, and when you look at his athletic profile, I think that also speaks very well towards Joe Dahl because they have a similar athletic profile. And so I think if Lang ends up not signing, I think that competition between Dahl and Tomlinson should be interesting. But it may be that they're looking for an athletic player like Dahl, and he may have a slight advantage going into camp. But, man, give me Lang if you can, because he would be he would be just be the best.
Yeah.
I would love it.
For sure. A guy like Lang, you get him and the rest of that line lined up like that, and all of a sudden – maybe it doesn't matter as much that you don't have linebackers because you're gonna be blowing up that scoreboard like a gas pump.
Yeah, and I mean you joke, but absolutely, like to go from what they had as an offensive line, which was below average, and that's not to say that Warford and Reef aren't good players. It's just that for whatever reason that wasn't working, to take and turn the right side of the line with Wagner and Lang into, you know, one of the best right sides in the league probably it's definitely a commitment to the pass more so than the run, but that's okay. I mean, it doesn't mean that either of those guys can't run block. It just means that they're both really good pass blockers. It's a huge concern that I had going into the free agency that we were going to come out of this with a terrible offensive line. And obviously we haven't signed Lang yet, and Dahl could prove, you know, or Tomlinson could prove to be really solid at right guard. So I'm not giving up on that yet, but I would certainly feel better, you know, if I knew that we had a solid, better than we had even right side of the line in terms of pass protection going into the off season or going into the draft, where we don't have to worry about the offensive line. So the next player we signed, and he's not someone that I'm super familiar with, but from what I've heard is a solid run stuffing defensive tackle, is Akeem Spence. We signed him to a 3-year, $10.5 million contract. From what I do understand, he's a player who has kind of improved every year he's been in the league. So he's the kind of player I love getting. Who is likely to, you know, who's going to have a good shot to get playtime as a starter, and hasn't necessarily reached his full potential yet either. So he's a guy who could blossom in his second contract, and those are players that I absolutely adore bringing in free agency. It kind of reminds me a bit of the signings of the signing of Tavon Wilson last year, and not to speak overly highly of Tavon Wilson, but in terms of the kind of the potential and the youth and the rising stock, that's what I like about him.
You know, his the details on his contract are still coming out. I think they originally reported it was a $10.5 million, and now they're backing off on that a little bit, saying it's a $9 million with the potential to reach $10.5 million. So that actually helps it. Even better. But the fact that they signed him for 3 years really speaks to what they're thinking of him. They typically don't sign guys for more than one unless they think that they bring value. So he is a stout defender. He's a good run stopper. And, you know, he does have potential. He's been dinged up a lot the last couple of years. But there's potential there. And, you know, I wanted them personally to go after a three technique to add more pass rush into the unit. But yeah, it seems like they definitely have a type, and he fits that type with Ajon and Nada and now Spence. These are all like solid, just run stuffers. And I think that's what they're trying to do in the middle is create that type of, you know, hard-nosed run stuffing mentality. And, you know, he fits that. He fits right in with them. And again, another character guy that they're bringing in who's good in the locker room. And I know Tampa, the writers liked him. The team liked him, and he was an overall good guy. So should be a good fit, and a guy that we get to look at for a few more years in the rotation.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then to move on and kind of wrap up, it seems like they've done a lot of work on that D-line while leaving gaping holes at linebacker, but maybe, you know, that's what the draft is for. They went out and they found Cornelius Washington from the Bears, signed him to a 2-year, $6 million contract. Defensive end, rush kind of guy, an edge guy. Feels like he might be a good piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, he'll play left defensive end, and he'll possibly rotate with a rookie. I'm assuming that they're still going to try and upgrade that defensive end spot in the draft somehow. It's a good draft for that type of guy. And there's some good value in the first four rounds that fit the style of defense that they run. But he's, you know, he's 290, 295 pounds in there. And for the style that Austin runs with that kind of closed defensive left end, that's an edge setter where you set the edge first and then pass rush second. And he's got the size to do that. He's got a good athletic profile as far as speed and explosiveness. His agility isn't terrific. But there's, again, there's an upside in him that we saw, and that's why he got a multiple-year deal. And he's excited about coming to Detroit, and he said that he believes that Austin's style of defense with that closed left end, that it's a perfect scheme for him, and that's why he chose to come here.
Now, that said, he's also played across the defensive line, and that's something we have a tendency to ask players to do, to be those hybrid, you know, defensive end, defensive tackle type players. So yeah. I won't be surprised to see him in various different schemes, packages. What I was trying to say.
Yeah, he is what Hyder was before Hyder lost the 20 pounds and became a lot faster.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. All right, so we'll move into, I guess, the last name on the list of action today, and I still think it was a really, really big day, especially with that Levy move. That was huge. But I guess tomorrow, Darren Fells from the Cardinals, tight end, is going to come visit the Lions, which is Friday, I guess. When I say tomorrow, that's actually today for the folks listening. Big deal, right? I think looking at a tight end here is something pretty interesting.
You know, I think they need to upgrade their tight end unit both through the free agency and in the draft. Mm-hmm. I want a blocking tight end to emerge just so that we can do some different things with Ebron because I think they need to be able to get him into better situations than they've put him in the past, and hopefully it will help him be more successful, more consistent. But I think they're going to double dip here. I think they're going to add somebody. And Fells is a guy who would be on the list. I have a couple more that I'd like to see them bring in. Luke Wilson is another guy that I think would be good. But Fells is a good start. And then if they can add another player in the draft, then you know all the better because it's a really good tight end draft as well. So it's a good start. I want to see them add a piece. And if Fells is a guy that they've targeted, you know, let's see what kind of contract they want to offer him.
Yeah, I agree. I know a lot of people were hoping for Deion Sims, who unfortunately went to the Bears. But Darren Fells, I mean, it's important to note that he has spent most of his career playing mostly blocking snaps. He's not necessarily an elite blocking tight end, but he definitely improves our situation like 100% or more from where we were. As far as a blocking tight end. So, I mean, it is a big jump in for that position, and it's a good move in that sense. He isn't, like I said, elite at that position, but we didn't necessarily need elite. We just needed serviceable. And actually what I don't know exactly what happened to him this last season, but 2 years ago, he looked like he was poised to break out as a pass catching tight end. Now the Cardinals as a whole kind of collapsed this last season, so it's hard to know exactly what was going on there, but he has shown potential in that role also. So I mean, he could end up being a very good, well-rounded number two tight end for us for a few years and I completely agree that it's likely they'll double dip while we're developing another tight end.
So, yeah, and for sure. And, you know, I think we would be remiss going back a little bit. You talked about the Bears picking up the tight end. You know, Riley Reiff, we didn't mention he's going to the Vikings. And with Khalil gone, it looks like Riley is going to be their left tackle. And more power to him, you know, best of luck and all that. But I don't know that that's going to bode well for him facing down against Ziggy twice a year. So that's going to be some interesting matchups. Now, Riley's a guy, though, that he does get motivated by things like this. We saw when they moved him to right tackle, he was breaking face masks and stuff. He may be a different ball of wax there on the left side, but it's definitely going to be something to watch. But I did want to call that out, because anytime someone's moving within your division, that just kind of creates a special sort of rivalry.
Yeah, I agree. And Minnesota, their offensive line situation is still looking like it's going to be a little dire. The Reef signing is not a bad one necessarily, but it's not exactly a great one either. So
yeah, for sure. He was definitely second best in the draft, but or in the free agency. But so Eric, you know, we've got some time here. It's still free agency. It's just, you know, all the breaking news is still happening. But I just, you know, before we get you on to talk a little more in depth about this, who's your first round selection in the draft for the Lions?
I believe it's their number one target is Hassan Reddick, and I would love for him to be there. I do think he is going to bring an element to any team that he goes to. But if he were to come to Lions, he would play a role similar to what Dont'a Hightower plays in New England. He would be able to play multiple spots in that linebacking unit. He would be able to cover out of the backfield. He would be able to blitz the situations. And he just has a skill set that just, it was very, very much reminds me of Ansa coming out, where you just don't know where his ceiling is going to end. So he's the guy that I want. He's the guy that I think they're targeting. And he's the guy that if I was to pick today, it would be him.
Awesome.
Here's a quick question to follow up for you. If he's taken before the Lions, do you still think they go linebacker? Do you think they go Jerod Davis or Zach Cunningham or one of the other guys available?
Cunningham interests me. I don't know if I like him necessarily at 21. I think they may be more inclined to try and find another freakish athlete like Obi Malafuanu. I just butchered that name. But
everybody does.
But his what he showed at the combine was just freakish. Safety, where he's big enough. He's basically like a bigger, slightly bigger Killebrew, but can cover even better. So you can pair him in nickel. You can put him in safety. You can putting him and Killebrew on the field together would just I just drool over that. So he would be a guy that I think would be really in the mix at 21 or. There's going to be a slew of defensive ends that are going to be tempting. It's just a matter of which ones fit the system best. But yeah, if Reddick's not there, Obi or defensive end are going to be the guys that I would target.
All right. Awesome. All right. That's Eric Schlitt, Mr. Big Stuff contributor over at lionswire.com. Check him out. Check him out on Twitter. Also, he's hot. He's got great stuff going on. Eric, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
All right, now that we got that out of the way, I think Case, it's time. Do you feel it? It's time to go
around the division.
Oh shit!
Oh, I think I'm gonna have an epileptic seizure.
Oh man, oh man. I tell you, Case, that's probably the biggest, hottest intro that anybody has ever seen on the face of the earth, huh?
Yes, it is. Okay, so there has been news for all four teams in the division. I'm not going to go into major detail on every single signing or departure, but there are some significant things to keep an eye on here. The Bears, starting at the bottom, as always here.
Bottom Bears.
they made, and we actually talked about that on Tuesday, so I don't need to talk too much about this. But they, you know, the Mike Glennon quarterback thing, which is a bit of a head scratcher. But you know, it maybe he developed in Tampa Bay. Maybe the and they call him the Ginger Giraffe for anyone who's not familiar. But maybe. They signed Deion Sims, which is a really good signing, which sucks, but
he's still got a catch from the ginger giraffe.
Right. In my eyes, what they really needed was a receiving tight end, not a blocking tight end, but that's just my opinion on it, and I'm probably wrong. They did sign Marcus Wheaton, the wide receiver, which it's a decent enough depth signing, but I would be surprised if he ends up, you know, if he makes a major impact. They did sign Quinton Demps, which is probably their best signing. He's coming over from Houston. He's a strong safety. They've got their issues, but he, on a defense that's expected to be significantly improved as they get healthy this next year, that fills a need for them on that side of the ball and gives them even more potential to be the, you know, top 10, maybe even top 5. That's probably unlikely, but they have the potential to be.
Weren't the toilet seats in the running for Ricky Wagner, supposedly?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I brought that up.
Right. They were. Now there has been a couple of departures as well. They let go of they let Logan Paulson go elsewhere. A tight end who wasn't very good, so no big deal there. The Brian Hoyer is in San Francisco, no big deal there. But then there's Alshon Jeffrey, who signed with Philadelphia. And that is good news for us, even if I don't think Alshon Jeffrey is as good as Alshon Jeffrey thinks he is. He's still good, and that we won't have to worry about him.
And the Vikings were in the mix for him too. So to see him go to Philly is a really really good story.
Very happy to see that. Of course, I think everyone probably all knows that Jay Cutler was cut. That happened there, I don't remember, last week or something. So that's the news on the Bears. We've got the Vikings next. They're one signing. The only player they have signed to this point that I'm aware of anyway, I could be wrong, is Riley Reiff. And we'll talk about him. We talked about him already. It's probably a good signing for them. It's just not a great signing.
He's the second best tackle in free agency, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, you've got Andrew Whitworth, who's 35, but also a really good tackle. There's a few other players that, I mean, he's not necessarily the second best. He's being young gives him a bit of an advantage over some of the other guys who were available. You're looking at a guy who, if they can't upgrade the rest of their offensive line, he's still going to struggle because he's always struggled when the players next to him aren't playing very well. So, I don't want to sound like I'm more down on Reiff than I really am, because I actually would have been okay, pretty, very okay with the Lions keeping him. So I think he's a good, average starter, you know, at both left tackle and right tackle, which is, you know, having that versatility is a great thing. The details on his contract haven't come out yet, so we don't know. But it sounds like because of their situation, he might get left tackle money, low end left tackle money, but he might get as much money as Ricky Wagner did, which is all the better, you know, for us in terms of the decision we made there. Carolina signed their former left tackle in Matt Khalil, which is, you know, he was a player like Warford who came in and was just absolutely amazing as a rookie. But he's had a combination of injuries and just lack of growth. And it's kind of a who knows exactly what happened here kind of situation with him, who never lived up to it. They've got a few other unsigned players who have seen some interest elsewhere. You've got Captain Munnerlyn, who I certainly hope leaves the Vikings. Cordarrelle Patterson, who I think I've seen connected to the Bears. among a few other teams. I'd rather he went out of the division, but he's also not exactly an elite receiver. So if the Bears sign him, it's, you know, I'm happy he's likely to leave Minnesota, because the last thing I want is for Minnesota to actually get a good offense. And he did look like he was coming up this year. He wasn't finally learning how to run some routes. So I just as soon not see him in Minnesota. And Adrian Peterson, who we've talked about, and actually who the Lions were linked to, which would surprise me, but stranger things have happened.
I don't see that happening.
No, neither do I. I mean, like I say, stranger things have happened, but I just don't see it happening. He's also been, you know, linked back to Minnesota in terms of if they can figure out a contract situation. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. And that's about it for the Vikings. So we move on to the worst team in the division.
Absolutely.
Packers, and they haven't had a ton of action, but they did kind of break a huge piece of news today in that they signed their defensive end Nick Perry to a really bizarre looking contract. There was $18.5 million in signing bonus overall, only about that same amount in guaranteed money. So it's very strange. If they cut him after this year, I think they face a lot of dead money, but, I mean, that's unlikely to happen. Ultimately, it looks a lot more normal when you parse through the details. It was still a major contract for a team with not a lot of money to spend. They weren't exactly a team you expected to go out and free agency see and sign other players, but it probably means that we see TJ Lang going around visiting other teams. Hopefully he signs to another team. Hopefully it's the Lions. We also saw Micah Hyde depart, and these are things that like that happened as a result of this contract. I think they weren't able to keep these players, or likely weren't in the case of Lang, because of the situation with the contract they gave Nick Perry. He is their best defensive player, but that's kind of like that's, you know, the reality of the current Packers situation, where Clay Matthews isn't, you know, the guy he used to be. Obviously Julius Peppers isn't the guy he used to be. They lost, you know, secondary players, so the problems there. So he's the new like heir, you know, to the throne of best, you know, Packers defensive player, and he's pretty good. So I mean, it's too bad that he's staying in Green Bay, but at the same time, that I think they probably overpaid when it's all said and done, which is good. When you get a division opponent who re-signs a really good player, all you can hope for is that they didn't get him on a good deal. And I don't think they did. They didn't get him on a particularly team friendly deal. They still have a fair number of unsigned guys, that could potentially end up other places. Jared Cook, the tight end who played really well there last year. He's a guy that I won't even be surprised if the Lions take a look at if Darren Fells doesn't work. Dayton Jones he had his best season this last year. So I'm sure they'd like to re-sign him, but at the same time, he's not an amazing player. There's the whole Eddie Lacy thing, and he's been connected to Minnesota and several other teams. So that will be an interesting one to see play out. And I do believe Julius Peppers is likely to go back to them, but at the same time, you're talking about a guy who's played 15 years. So he's at the very tail end of his usefulness, especially at a position that requires so much athletic ability. You have to expect that this is probably his last year, and that he's not really going to be that effective. But that's the news from the Packers, and I'm sure there'll be more for all three teams when we revisit this topic next Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Or next Wednesday.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, don't forget about Black Rifle Coffee. We talked about that. Great, great stuff. They are out to hire 10,000 vets, and they are also out supporting veterans and veterans causes with their profits, a good portion of their profits. Like I said, it's freedom in a cup. You can get great coffee from them at blackriflecoffee.com. Any kind of roast you want, whole bean, ground, they got it all. They even got those K-Cups for you guys. They had a contest today. If you watch them on Twitter, they're giving away K-Cups if you guys retweeted their beautiful coffee rounds, as they call them. Check them out, blackriflecoffee.com. Go ahead and order up some great stuff, and you will not be unhappy. This is awesome, awesome coffee. And don't forget, they've partnered with us. They got a sweet giveaway that we're doing throughout the month of March. Tons of stuff that they've anteed up with for prizes. Mugs, t-shirts, coffee, hats, all this great stuff. All you have to do is tweet at DET Lions Podcast. Supports our vets with at Black Rifle Coffee. Hashtag win Black Rifle Coffee. Remember, when you tweet at them, that's BLCK Rifle Coffee, because Twitter didn't give them enough characters to put the whole thing in there. Again, at DET Lions Podcast, supports our vets with at Black Rifle Coffee. Hashtag win Black Rifle Coffee. Get it in there. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Order up some of that freedom in a cup. And don't forget to put Detroit Lions Podcast in the special instructions. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We're going to go ahead and wrap the show up. It's second show of the week, so hopefully you guys are happy with what we did for you. Don't forget to use the comments in the subreddit. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. That's what keeps us being the number one Detroit Lions podcast. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Anything you guys can anything you can part with to support us really, really helps out. We've got a lot of growth going, a lot of stuff we're trying to implement here and keep going with some of the cool stuff. And all our Patreon donors are big, very special, helpful people that we appreciate very, very much. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Great place to see what's going on. Or on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, at DET Lions Podcast. It's the best place to see Case.
In free agency.
Don't forget to use our link to Amazon on the website, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You click that shop link. There's all kinds of places you can go. Amazon, Fanatics, all over the place. Get your stuff. Get your official licensed Lions wear, or any other team, really, any other sport. Go ahead and get anything else you want to buy from Amazon, all right there on that shop link at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They give us a little kickback, and that's a great way to support the show doing something you were going to do anyway. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or give us a call and leave a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. That's the Lions line. 929-335-4667. Give us a call. Get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Make sure to come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the subscribe button to subscribe to the podcast so we come inside your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast to Detroit Lions and Reddit Connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!